Welcome to our worship service. As Christians, we know all the blessings that God gives us because of our faith. We understand what Jesus has done to save us, and those are great things. But sometimes people make the mistake of thinking, well, if I'm a Christian, then nothing bad ever happens to me ever again, and my life is going to be carefree and easy. Well, you and I both know that that's not how it works. We live in a sinful world. There's sinful things that happen to us. There are all kinds of hardships and challenges that can depress us and discourage us and make us wonder, what is the real meaning of life here? What's going on in my life? Well, I imagine that that's the way Job felt about his life. He had so many things going wrong for him, and God allowed it. He didn't cause it. But in the end, Job had his faith, and his faith carried him through. And that's what happens in your life and mine too. Lots of hardships, lots of difficulties, but our faith is the thing that gets us through those times. And then God shows us what the meaning of life really is for this life and for eternal life. We'll talk about that in our sermon this evening. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. You are exalted as head over all. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worrying and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do, you should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. He died once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, your ears are always open to the humble prayers of your people. Teach us to ask for those things that are according to your will and best for our lives of faith. We pray this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first scripture lesson is from 1 Corinthians 9, verses 16 to 23. When Paul was an apostle, he couldn't really boast about anything. God had brought him to faith. God had made him an apostle. Anything that Paul did was the result of God's work in people's lives. And so Paul humbly served the Lord. God had called Paul to faith, and God would give him the ability to serve. Here's what Paul was inspired to write. You see, if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast about, because an obligation is laid on me. And woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I do this as a volunteer, I receive compensation. But if not, I have been entrusted with a responsibility as a steward. What then is my compensation? To present the gospel of Christ free of charge when I preach it, instead of making use of the right I have when I preach the gospel. In fact, although I am free from all, I enslave myself to all, so that I might gain many more. To the Jews I became like a Jew, so that I might gain Jews. To those who are under law, I became like a person under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might gain those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, I became like a person without the law, though I am not without God's law, but am within the law of Christ, so that I might gain those who are without the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might gain the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that I may save at least some. and I do everything for the sake of the gospel, so that I might share it along with others. Our psalm reading for tonight is part of Psalm 103. God certainly gives us many blessings, and this psalm reminds us of the great forgiveness that we have through Jesus. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who pardons all your guilt, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with mercy and compassion, who satisfies your life with goodness, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always accuse. He will not keep his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. He does not repay us according to our guilty deeds. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so powerful is his mercy for those who fear him. As distant as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our rebellious acts from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we were formed. He remembers that we are dust. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The gospel reading for tonight is from Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. When Jesus went around preaching and teaching, a lot of people saw his miracles, and for some, that's all they really wanted. They wanted to be healed or have Jesus provide for them. And he certainly did that for people. But when that's all the people were interested in and not the message, then Jesus moved on other places. In this reading, we see Jesus healing all kinds of people and preaching and going other places so that he could continue to share God's word. They left the synagogue and went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was lying in bed, sick with a fever. Without delay, they told Jesus about her. He went to her, took her by the hand, and raised her up. The fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, when the sun had set, the people kept bringing to him all who were sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. He healed many people who were sick with various diseases and drove out many demons, but he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew who he was. Jesus got up early in the morning while it was still dark and went out. He withdrew to a solitary place and was praying there. Simon and his companions searched for him, and when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." He told them, "Let's go somewhere else, to the neighboring villages, so that I can preach there too. In fact, that is why I have come." Then he went throughout the whole region of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. God's word for our study this evening are verses from Job chapter 7, verses 1 through 7. This is in the midst of Job's suffering, and he's responding to his friends who think that he's done something wrong. Isn't man's time on earth like being compelled to serve in the army? Aren't his days like those of a hired man? Like a slave, he longs for shade, or like a day laborer, he waits for his pay. In the same way, I have been allotted months of futility, and nights of agony have been assigned to me. When I lie down, I think, how long before I get up? But the night drags on, and I'm filled with restlessness until dawn. My flesh is clothed with maggots and caked with dirt. My skin scabs over and then oozes again. My days pass by more swiftly than the shuttle of a weaver's loom. They come to an end without hope. Remember that my life is just a breath. My eyes will never again see good fortune. Your fellow worshipers, this time of the year, it's easy for people to have cabin fever. We had all that cold weather and all that snow earlier. Today it's not so bad. But when it's dark most of the time, and when it's cold outside and you can't get out and do anything, and when it's miserable, you just get cabin fever, you get tired of being inside and you want it to change. Can you imagine living in Alaska where they have no daylight sometimes, or maybe a couple hours of daylight, and they've got to deal with that darkness all the time? There's even a name for that. It's called SAD, seasonal affective disorder. You can even buy a light to hang in your house, like the sun, you know, to simulate the sun and feel better about it. Well, depression is a part of our life. It could be from the weather, maybe it can be from our circumstances. A lot of circumstances lead people to wonder what the purpose of their life is and what in the world is going on in their life, and that can happen to us too. I imagine that's the way Job was feeling when he's writing here about his predicament and his circumstances. He's wondering the same thing. He's depressed and discouraged and wondering what's going to happen in the future. Well, this Bible reading is a good opportunity for you and I to examine where our strength comes from and what makes life worth living. And it's only the Lord that can do that for us. Only the Lord can give meaning to our life here. Meaning for our life right now, and meaning for our eternal life in heaven. In this Bible reading, Job is suffering. God was not the cause of it, but God allowed it to happen. Satan said to the Lord, "Lord, you've put a hedge around Job. You're protecting him. If I tempt him, he's going to lose his faith." So the Lord allowed Satan to tempt and test Job. And God put limitations on it. He could do things to Job, but he couldn't take his life. And there was a time limit, too, that these things finally came to an end. So what happened to Job? Well, in one day, these are the things that happened. Job's oxen and donkeys, 500 oxen, 500 donkeys, were stolen, and the servants were killed. On the same day, fire fell from the sky and burned up Job's sheep, 7,000 sheep, and the servants, and they were all killed. That same day, a messenger comes, and he says, "Job, there's been a windstorm, and the windstorm knocked down the house where your 10 children were, and they're all dead." And then Job starts suffering physically. It says this in chapter 2, "Satan afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head." Maybe like boils or something that would ooze, like he talks about. He lost his appetite. He wasn't gaining any weight, and people didn't recognize him after a while. You can read on, and after all these things happened, Job's wife said, "Job, if this is the kind of God you have, just curse him and die." And then his so-called friends came. One of them was Eliphaz. And his three friends are saying, "Job, you must have done something wrong. God's punishing you now. Just ask God to forgive you, and then all of this will go away and everything will be fine." But God couldn't punish Job. That was reserved for Jesus, who was still coming into the world. Eliphaz said this to Job, "Who, being innocent, has ever perished? Were the upright ever destroyed? As I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it. Job, it's your fault." All these things were happening to Job, and God's allowing it, and he realizes that this is all out of his control. All Job can do is sit back and wait to see what's going to happen and how all these things are going to turn out for him. He's lost many things, but he hasn't lost his faith. And that was going to give Job the means to be able to go on in his life. There may be times when we suffer greatly, like Job did too. Have you ever been so sick that you didn't care if you lived or died? Have you had financial troubles to the point where you thought maybe you're going to have to sell something major and make up for it? There's going to have to be some significant change to get right financially. You ever have friends or a family member say, "Well, look at your problems, and you're a Christian. Why is that happening? What kind of a God is this? Maybe you've done something wrong. Maybe God is punishing you." All these things that happened to Job, those difficulties, they happen to us too. So what's the story with Job? How does he handle this? How do you and I handle it? What's the purpose of all of this? Well, God allows things to happen. He doesn't cause them. And he allows them for very specific purposes. One reason why God might allow something to happen is for discipline. Maybe God allows something into my life to teach me a lesson, get me back on the road of faith. Maybe God allows something to happen so that a person can be strengthened in their faith. They get rid of distractions and focus on the things that they believe. Maybe the reason why God allows something in a believer's life is so that they can be an example and influence others. You know how many people have probably read this story about Job? I even knew a lady once that had a personalized license plate, and it said Job et on it. Like she was going along with what Job had going on. She was looking at his example. God may allow things into our life, and the only way to handle them, like Job was, is through faith. And God gives us faith just for that reason, to handle the difficult stuff in life, to know what God's already done for us, and to help us to trust that whatever is happening is going to work out for us for a good purpose. The 23rd Psalm is really familiar, and a lot of books have been written about the 23rd Psalm. And I read a book once that was actually written by a shepherd that had the experience of watching sheep. In Bible times, they didn't have fences. They didn't have ways to keep the sheep in. They maybe had a pen at night where they could put them overnight, but then during the day, they're just loose out there. So if you're the shepherd, you're trying to keep these sheep together. Think if there's 100 sheep and you're trying to, you know, watch over them all. Then you got one that strays off and goes the other way. Well, that happened often to the shepherd that wrote this book that I was reading, and here's what he did. This sheep would not stay with the flock. It often wandered far away and paid no attention to my call, so I broke its leg to prevent it from getting lost or being destroyed by a predator. Now it stays by my side and promptly responds to my call. Sounds drastic, doesn't it? But what did the sheep herder want to do? Wanted to keep the sheep safe. Could it be that when you and I go through difficult times, that God's trying to do the same thing? He's breaking our legs, so to speak, so that we can learn something from Him, that our faith can get stronger. We can search the Scriptures. We can rely more on God. Are we the example for somebody else in the way that we're dealing with what we're going through? Or is God trying to teach us a lesson of some kind? Whatever's going on, you and I can use our faith to put our trust in the Lord, because He's going to work out everything for our good. He's going to take whatever comes along in your life and mine and use it for a good purpose, because God can't do anything to harm us, and we know what His goal is. God is going to use whatever comes along to strengthen our faith and our trust in Him. God gives meaning to our life. He gives us meaning right now. Our lifetime here is very important, because this is when we come to faith. This is when we live our faith. And our life especially has meaning when we're thinking about dying and going home to heaven. Some people think that they can be in control of their life here. There's a philosophy called humanism, where people think that they can take care of everything that they need to. They just have to be strong enough and smart enough to be able to do it. I read this about humanism. The person said, "You have the inner strength to conquer all obstacles and all adversities. Be courageous and you will rise above it. You have a mind, figure out everything and trust your reason. You are the master of your own destiny. You are the captain of your own soul." Well, that sounds good. Is that even possible? No. Did Job have any control over the things that were happening to him? None whatsoever. He didn't have any control. He just had to sit back and wait to see what was going to happen, seeing what God was allowing into his life. Job also realized how fragile and temporary his life was. He says right at the end of the Bible reading, he says, "Remember, O God, that my life is but a breath." Job was really asking God to show him mercy, and that he realized how fragile and temporary his life was and wanted God to help him through it. Job had his ups and downs as he dealt with all these things. He complained sometimes and got angry at God sometimes, weaknesses of faith. But in the end, Job stood on his faith and had great confidence in what God was going to do for him sometime by taking him home to heaven. There are some familiar verses from Job chapter 19. Sometimes we hear these read at a funeral service. And this is what Job says. And now remember, this is about 700 years before Jesus is even born. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Job had that confidence, despite what was happening with all these things going wrong in his life. And maybe Job figured, well, I'm going to die too, because that's the only thing left for me is my life here. But even if he would die, Job said, I know the Savior is going to come eventually, and he's going to raise me back to life, like he's going to be raised back to life. And he was looking forward to it. Job had the faith to believe that even though these things were happening and it was difficult, God was going to get him through it. And even if his earthly life never got any better, he knew that he was going home to heaven to be with the Savior. God wants you and I to use our faith when we deal with the difficulties of life too. You and I don't have any control over what's going on. The Lord does, but we don't. And sometimes people get discouraged by that they don't have any control. But in a lot of ways, that's a good thing, because God's taking care of it. And rather than complain about not being able to call the shots, so to speak, in our own life, God wants us to put our faith into action. Several years ago, I got this appointment book that I could stick in my dress shirt pocket and write stuff down in, just a little booklet like this. And it had the whole month laid out. And then in the bottom right corner, there was always a saying for the month. And I remember one particular saying. It said, life is 10% what we make it and 90% how we take it. I like that. We're not in control of anything, really. But we can control how we handle what goes on. I can get depressed and discouraged and sad about it, or I can use my faith to say, Lord, you're in control. Please help me through this. Work it out for my good. And that's a big difference, isn't it? We want to use our faith not only to understand that God may allow things to come into our life, but then to use our faith to actually handle those things that are in our life. Fears go away when we have our faith. Sorrows aren't as difficult when we realize what our goal is, going home to heaven. Worrying isn't a part of our life if we're trusting that the Lord is going to take care of us. God makes meaning out of our life here by giving us our faith. We know why we're here, and we know where the Lord is going to take us someday, and our faith helps us see all of that and look forward to it, just like Job did. Only the Lord can give meaning to our life here, and not just for this life, but meaning for when the Lord takes us home to heaven. When there are tragic things that happen, then people comment about it. Like if someone is killed in an accident, I've heard people say, well, if there is a God, why would he let such things happen to such a nice person? And then I've heard people say when something tragic happens, well, that's the way the cookie crumbles, as if there's no rhyme or reason to it or no control over things. I guess that's par for the course. If people are not Christians, they don't really know what to believe, and how God is in control. But sometimes we might be tempted to think that way too. I'm a believer. Should bad things be happening to me? I'm one of God's children. I'm serving the Lord. I'm giving money to him in an offering. I'm doing these things. I'm coming to church, and here comes this bad thing. And sometimes we're tempted to think that that shouldn't be, because we're God's people. And sometimes maybe we think that God really isn't in control, and that's the way the cookie crumbles. Things are just going to happen. That's the way the world thinks. But that's not how God wants us to think. He wants us to be using our faith. Difficulties may come. There's things that can happen, just like there was for Job. But the Lord is with us all the time. And he was with Job all the time, strengthening him and keeping him safe. And you know, when this was all over, God doubled everything that Job had lost, except his 10 children. He was given 10 more children, but he didn't really lose the 10 because they went home to heaven. God took care of everything, and he'll do the same for us. He'll guide us through the difficulties of life so that we remain in our faith and someday get that greatest blessing of all with our home in heaven. It's easy to get depressed and discouraged, easy to have cabin fever. Thank the Lord for our faith. He gets us through everything, especially the spiritual stresses, so that we can have that wonderful knowledge of Him and know why we're here and where we're going to go someday. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll continue with our confession of faith. Tonight we're going to use the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We will continue with our prayers. Gracious God and Father, we praise You for the countless blessings which we receive from Your hand, the beauties of creation and the bounties of the earth, the joy of life and the pleasure of friendship, the good of work and the gift of rest, the privilege to share happiness and sorrow with one another. Above all, we praise and thank You for Your saving word and for Your Son's body and blood, which You give us to eat and to drink in the sacrament. Through these means of grace, You send the Holy Spirit into our hearts and unite us to Jesus and to the whole Christian church on earth. Great God and Lord, without Your continuing help, we easily waver in our faith, lose courage, and grow careless in our watchfulness. The times and days are perilous. Give us strength to face the evils of each day with fresh confidence. Open our lips to speak of Your grace, and move us to use the gifts that You give us to share Your word of salvation with all people. Protect and prosper the family, the school, the government, and all good institutions that You have established for the benefit of society. Remember in mercy those who are sick and suffering, and bring Your healing to troubled homes and lives. Now, eternal God and Father, keep us in the saving faith, and so enable us to overcome all things through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We also join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with His favor and give you peace. Amen.